From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. The new regional U.S. Patent Office in Dallas hopes to speed up the patent process for local inventors. We'll hear from the regional director just ahead. First, though, University of Texas Chancellor Bill McRaven wants to scrap the state's top 10% admissions rule. It requires public state universities to automatically accept any Texas student who graduated in the top 10% of his or her public high school graduating class. The legislature put that rule in place to boost minority enrollment when affirmative action was temporarily banned. However, McRaven this week told two state legislative panels the rule hurts UT Austin's ability to pick its own student body. The school has been overwhelmed with top 10% students in recent years. 75% of UT Austin's incoming freshmen are automatic enrollees each year. Governor Greg Abbott and other Texas officials want to see state schools ranked among the top 10 public universities nationally. Right now, UT Austin's number 52. Education experts today will continue meeting in Fort Worth about how to reduce the number of high school dropouts. High schoolers are graduating at a higher rate than ever before, 82%. That's good news. But experts want to get to 90%. One key issue, educators have to focus more on keeping minorities and poor students in school. John Gompertz is president and CEO of America's Promise Alliance.
Most significantly, we have the persistent gaps for low-income kids, kids of color, English language learners, and for special needs kids. We're still way behind where we need to be. That's a real source of concern.
Data from the Alliance for Excellent Education shows a 90% high school graduation rate would help create more than 65,000 new jobs and an $11.5 billion annual boost to the GDP. Philip Lovell with the Alliance says getting a higher graduation rate not only helps students, it helps the country.
And right now, we're at this tipping point where we've shown progress, but we really need to inspire the country to pour gasoline on the fire so that we can get over this hump into the 90% graduation rate. And with that, we need to show both that it's possible and that everyone will benefit.
The Communities and Schools Conference continues today in Fort Worth. Now to the Friday conversation, and a pretty important figure for inventors in this part of the country. Hope Shimabuku is the first director of the Dallas Regional Branch of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. She sat down to talk with KERA's Rick Holter.
Hope Shimabuku, welcome to the Friday Conversation.
Thank you, Rick. I'm glad to be here.
The headline started last fall. A new regional patent office opens in Dallas. There are only four in the country. Why this one in North Texas?
The Dallas regional office in particular was of interest, and the location was of interest because of all the innovators that are here. It has a large proportion of engineers. It has an extremely high amount of patent grants and patent applications and above average veteran military population from which we could draw from.
If I'm an inventor, say I invented a brand new kind of pen, what do I do and how does it work through your process?
What you do is you need to prepare a patent application. And your patent application will probably have a drawing, and it'll have different information describing the patent that you have.
Drawn with my new pen.
That's right. That's right. You file your patent application, and then the patent office, the USPTO, will review that patent application, and you'll work with your patent examiners and converse back and forth on the process and the different changes that need to happen so your idea can be patented.
Have you ever filed a patent yourself?
No, I have not, but I've represented many people as clients and filed patents before the U.S. Patent Office.
When you were on that side of the fence, what was the biggest frustration?
I do think that patent pendency, how long it took to be able to get a patent through the system, was probably one of the bigger frustrations that I had. The two-year pendency period before even a patent is able to be looked at, I do believe is too long. I think that, sometimes even the biggest technologies take 5 years before a patent is even issued, you know, by the time it gets to the office. And by that time, technology has changed, especially with the software industry. So what would be nice is if we're able to keep up with the technology, that we're able to review things and get through before the technology has changed.
Now, before you got your law degree, you were trained as a mechanical engineer at UT in Austin. What got you interested in technology?
I grew up in Houston, Texas, 15 minutes away from the Johnson Space Center. When I was growing up, I was around engineers and astronauts, computer scientists, everyone who worked for the Johnson Space Center. And my mom actually worked for NASA as a computer programmer. The other thing was that when I was younger, I would stand outside. Whenever the space shuttle returned back from its flight, it would circle and do a salute to Mission Control, which was in Houston. And so I would stand outside. Remember, as a young child, I would wave at the space shuttle as it returned home. I think that those memories were key in formulating my desire to be an engineer.
How did you make that transition from engineer to intellectual property lawyer?
For me, I've always been good at patterns. If you gave me a problem to solve, in mechanical engineering problem, a design problem, I was always very good at taking what I knew before and then kind of changing it and applying it to the current situation. When it comes to law, it's very similar in which you're looking at precedents and case law, and then from there, applying that to future cases that were going to be coming down.
Before you got this job, you were very active in diversity efforts. I wonder, as you've risen through your career, what it's like to be, in some cases, the only Asian American woman in that room.
I think it was tough, to be honest, to get through this. And there wasn't a lot of people who looked like me who I was able to be mentored by. But even the people who didn't look like me, the professors, the male professors that I work with, really encouraged me to be able to push through and to rise to where I am now.
Hope Shimabuku, thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.
From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker.